You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And today we're talking about pans and siblings. So how pans affects the family as a whole is sort of what we're talking about in the next couple of episodes. Today we're focusing on the siblings, so the sibling relationship dynamic, the way that the siblings who don't have pans are affected in their lives by a diagnosis of pans in the family, and as well as the risk of the other siblings developing pans at some point too. Yeah. So Jody, your family is unfortunate in that both of your kids are medically complex, and your non-pans child was actually the first one to be clearly medically complex. And so I don't know if you had any experience with pans impacting your family, but you might've had some experience in the reverse, at least with like medical complexity affecting a sibling who was not medically complex yet. So I'm going to lean on you to start because it's really about like the family experience. So share what you can and then lean on what you've talked to other parents about as well.
Yeah. There was a lot during that time going on in our family. It was my girls and then my stepson living with us also. And my stepson had his set of struggles that he had. And then Avery was born. She was totally healthy and fine. And my youngest daughter was born. And she had, mast cell disease and just like that swallowed our world. So that was like the start of navigating a medically complex child. And that just impacted everything and affected everything. And I just did my best to try and help Avery and my stepson understand what was going on with little sister, to help them try and kind of roll with the punches, even though everybody was kind of young at that time and nobody really understood anything. And then Avery had her onset and it just like our whole world exploded. All three kiddos were struggling. It was an absolute mess. And I think, do you want me to go ahead and go into like kind of what I did to try and, okay. I think the number one thing, the most beneficial, and my kids were at the time were kind of old enough, but also not old enough. Like, I don't know that most people talk to their 5-year-old about in great detail about what's going on. I opted to be like totally open with everybody in the house. We sat down, we read a pandas for little kid book, and we talked about what pandas was. And we talked about symptoms that Avery was having. We talked about symptoms that literally everyone in the house was having, because everybody was having symptoms just a little bit differently. We spent a lot of time talking about giving each other grace and being accepting. And I really, really spent so much time explaining to all three of them that, this was something going on with Avery's brain. And it wasn't actually Avery doing these things. It's not Avery being mean to you. It's not Avery hitting you. It's not Avery stealing something from you. The screaming and the yelling, this is something that's happening in her brain and she does not have control of it. And I think they all three of them are great kids. They have that compassion in them. So that helped a tiny bit. But then also it was a whole lot of just complete chaos because everybody was in their own struggle and we were just trying to manage all together.
Yeah. It can get so hard because, for the sibling who doesn't have the diagnosis, a lot of attention needs to go to the kid who's struggling, right? And so I recognized in retrospect that I likely had pans. It took me working with pans kids for a long time to realize, oh, here's why I understand them so well. And here's why I get this, because through conversations with my mom, figuring out, oh, I did this. And oh yeah, I did that too. And oh yeah, I had that too. So like, well, duh, I probably had pans as a kid. I realized that my youngest brother probably had PANS before I realized that I probably did, because he did have a very clear overnight onset, was afraid to go to sleep at night, was afraid he was going to die, like obsessive, like intrusive and repetitive thoughts. And like was having these horrible anxiety attacks and like just meltdowns associated with it. So I really figured that out a lot faster for him. And as a sibling who had their own struggles, but that had better coping strategies through it when I was younger, there were definitely times that I felt like my other brother and I sort of got a little bit of the shaft, because my parents needed to give so much attention to our youngest brother, who struggled a lot more than we did. You know, I managed to still do well in school. So I didn't have all the extra parent teacher conferences and things like that. I managed to still engage in life and have friends, and he didn't. So there was just a lot of attention put on him. Mm-hmm. And so that can get really hard, because you kind of lose your parent that you already have to share with your siblings anyway. And then like one gets a lot more of the attention, but it's necessary. And it's just unfortunate that when we need that attention, when the other person needs that attention, our brains are not fully functional yet. You know, we're still going through a lot of development. And so we can't necessarily really fully understand logically or emotionally why we're not getting the attention that we used to. And there can be resentment that can build up, and you can start to see some behavioral problems arise as a result of that. And, you know, my youngest brother definitely got picked on by me and my middle brother to an extent, and left out by me and my other brother because of the ways that he was different and the attention that he required. And so I know that it caused some impacts on our sibling relationship as a result. So there's that that can come about. And it can be, you know, depending on what's going on and the symptoms that your PANS kid is having, it can be not just like an annoyance or like a jealousy thing. There can be true trauma too, right? Like some of these kids can get really, really violent, and it can be, you know, aimed at a family member. Usually, unfortunately, when there's violence and rage and that kind of thing, it's usually aimed at mom, but sometimes it's aimed at siblings too. And so there are families that sometimes have to completely separate their children, and that one parent stays with the kids that don't have the PANS and another one stays with the kid or kids that do, and that they have to be completely separated until they heal enough that it's safe to be together. So there can be like a safety and a trauma issue as well. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, even if a PANS sibling doesn't have the diagnosis themselves, we'll see some mental health stuff start to come up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that is really important to talk about is, yes, there is a higher risk of a sibling having PANS if their sibling had PANS or if their parent had PANS. So we see a lot of kids that multiple kids in the family have it. We see this in both cases where we have siblings that are genetically related and siblings that are not. I've seen actually even a case where an identical twin, only one of them had PANS and the other one didn't. So it's not just genes, it's not just environment, it's both. And so this can be true even if you are genetically identical or genetically completely not even related, not raised, not from the same part of the world, didn't even necessarily come together at birth, you know, so had different experiences in like traumatic birth or, you know, pre-coming to your adoptive family, it can still have siblings that can both have it, right?
Yeah.
And so even if you don't end up with like soft signs or a warning signs or a clear, obvious double diagnosis of PANS in your family, there are a lot of kids who are siblings that struggle with anxiety, sadness, anger. And those are things that honestly can still be helped with homeopathy. I mean, homeopathy is not just for PANS and PANS. We're going to do a whole section of the podcast where we just talk about like some details and get really into homeopathy. But we also know that like when you're dealing with PANS and PANS, you want to know more about it than you want to get into like the nerdy nuts and bolts about homeopathy, which we'll get there because eventually most people want to get to the nerdy nuts and bolts. At least PANS parents do, because you guys like you get your mom MD, right? Like you will want to learn all of the details of all the things. Which I love, and that's helped me be a better doctor too. Anyway, I'm on a bit of a sidetrack there. So homeopathy, because as we say in basically every episode lately, that homeopathy really addresses susceptibility. And so if you think about it, you're not always, not everybody's going to have the same reaction to a PANS sibling that needs a lot of extra support, or who's, or if your lives are changed because of the PANS sibling. Some people are going to be anxious. Some people are going to be angry. Some people are going to be sad. That's really just another glimpse into the types of susceptibility that you have. Like if you're under stress and you tend to get more angry, that's part of your susceptibility. Homeopathy can help with that. Homeopathy also helps with the ways we respond to trauma. So a lot of parents will choose to bring any sibling that's struggling, whether they have soft signs, so like little tics or little movements that might be tics, or maybe a worsening around an illness or whatever. Some parents will bring their kids, period, who are struggling in any way, to allow homeopathy to help them heal from the experience of having a PAN sibling. And we see that it helps a lot, because the family all interacts together, and the way that one person is doing really impacts the way others are doing. So it can really help these kiddos.
Yeah. I think homeopathy helps us to see what we didn't see before, because before we get to homeopathy, we're just treating symptoms and whatever. Mm-hmm. But then when we get into homeopathy and we're talking about like all of the little quirks and just little nuances that make our kid, and it's like, oh, wait, like all of a sudden I'm looking at my other kiddo and I'm like, wait, like that's a little quirk that like all of a sudden now that's something that homeopathy can help with. And so I know with each of my kids, myself and my husband, whenever we started Avery on homeopathy, I was like, wait a minute, like we all have like little things. And at the same time, like everybody's got trauma. And I think, you know, homeopathy helping siblings with a trauma aspect of it is such a fantastic thing, because literally everyone in the family needs support, regardless of how they're experiencing it, because it's trauma for everybody.
So let's talk about a couple of just like the day-to-day life things too, like aside from homeopathy, that impact kids who have a sibling with PANS and PANDAS. So food restrictions, mm-hmm. And like food sensitivities. So for the sake of the kiddos who I work with, because you know my clientele is PANS PANDAS families and predominantly kids with PANS, and I am advocating for them first and foremost, and also trying to help parents like minimize the issues that go on. And one of the things that I really ask people to do regularly is whoever has the most restrictions in what they can safely eat sets the diet for the family. Mm-hmm. It's because I just put myself in the kiddo's shoes, right? Yeah. How would you feel if you were told that this thing that's not your fault means that you can't have this thing that you love, mm-hmm. but your brother gets to have it and you have to watch and just be okay with the fact that you can't have it? So like ice cream is a big one, right? Because both dairy and sugar. And so to say, well, your brother can have the ice cream because he doesn't have PANDAS. It's not your fault that you have PANDAS and we don't blame you. It's the PANDAS saying this and doing these things and we love you, but that means you can't have this thing that you love. Like I don't know any kid that would be okay in that situation. So you're adding like behavioral and like family dynamic complications to an already complex thing. So I ask parents to say, you know, maybe there's no restrictions outside of the house, or when you're on your own, you can eat people can eat whatever they want. But when the family is together, these are the rules. And like, you don't bring things into the house that another family member can't have. And so that's a thing that can impact kids with PANS or PANDAS. And every family has to make their choice for what works for them, and what works for their individuals in the family. But I said I wasn't going to go back to homeopathy, but that is a really great gift of homeopathy, is that it helps work on that susceptibility to reactions to food too, right? So that we can have more safe foods in the house. We can have less concern about the way that things are triggered. We talked about it in another episode, so you guys can go check that out. It was episode number, let me see here. Episode 20, PANS on nutrition and diet and food. So if you haven't checked that one out that's something that you're battling, maybe that's the one you can potentially check out. So that's one place that kids with a PANS sibling will oftentimes struggle in a way that homeopathy can help. But there's some things that you can do too. Like I said, just allowing them, maybe having special days or for the kid to go out to get that special ice cream treat, but something else that's special that's being done for the PANS kid so that they're not feeling super left out and like not coming home and talking about it and that kind of thing too. Just being sensitive to the ways that they are feeling socially isolated when they're already feeling isolated anyway.
Yeah.
And then there's other like activities that they might miss out on too, right? Like we talked about in our last episode about the impacts of another couple, two episodes ago, I think about impacts of like chlorine on PANS families. And so if you can't go, if you're by yourself and you're gonna take your kids to the pool, but your PANS kiddo is gonna actively flare from being in the pool, nobody's gonna go, right? And so finding ways to navigate that so that your kiddos who aren't dealing with PANS can get the best that they can of their experience with as little impact on the overall family as possible. Anything you want to add here, Jody?
I didn't do a good job with any of that. It affected everyone. The one thing that I did try to do is, which was at the time was the best I could do, was to be intentional about spending a chunk of time with each child individually throughout the day. And that was literally because everything was so chaotic at the time. It would have been really cool to say, oh, you know what? Like you can go to the swim party with dad and we'll stay back. But I just didn't juggle all of that very well. But I think keeping my connection with each kiddo and trying my best to keep an open line of communication with everybody. So everyone knew they could come to me and talk about how they were feeling or how all of this was impacting them or anything, was all I had the capacity to do at the time. And I think that's okay. I think, you know, my kids survived it. I think a lot of kiddos survive this hard thing. You know, luckily homeopathy was able to, again, I always go back to homeopathy too. Homeopathy was a pretty wild thing. My children watching, like it was mind blowing and amazing watching my children heal, but having them watch each other heal and like seeing like, oh, okay, that's not Avery. Like what is she's, you know, getting further into her own healing, she's spending more time doing better and we're playing better and we're interacting better. And she likes hanging out with me now and all of those things. So them watching each other heal has been pretty, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Is there anything else that we should really touch on about siblings and PANS? So,
and it's just hard. It is hard to navigate, but it does get better.
Yeah. My last thought that just popped into my mind was for the parents who might be listening to this and feeling like, oh man, now there's even more guilt. Like we're not trying to do any mom guilt here. There is no mom guilt that we're looking for. We're just wanting to acknowledge the experience that you're likely having. And we know that you are all doing the best that you possibly can with a really hard thing, and that there is no one right way to do anything. These are just some of the things that we have seen and or have worked for us, or that we've seen work for large groups of people. Or even, you know, for me, my preference and my recommendations are coming from like trying to advocate for a PANS kid. And I'm just acknowledging that it's hard on the family too. So, give yourself grace. If you are in the place where you're struggling because you've got a kiddo who is flaring constantly with every exposure and things are just not getting better with no matter what you do, and it's impacting your whole family and your other kids feel like they're struggling too, you're doing the best you can and you're going to keep doing the best you can. And this won't be forever.
Yeah.
So that usually helps me when I'm going through a really hard thing, is to remember this won't be forever.
Yeah.
So hopefully it helps you too. All right, we're going to come on our next episode and talk a little bit more about extended family, including chosen family or friends, and the ways that PANS tends to impact those as well, those relationships. So hopefully we'll see you there. We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.